Good morning, church family, and anyone who happens to be tuning in with us for this online worship experience at First Baptist Church, Louisville. We're going into, week 5 or 6 of online services, which means we're sheltering in place. We're staying healthy. We're being as safe as we possibly can be. And we're doing church in a different way than perhaps we're used to. But it is what it is, and for however long this period of time is, I pray that we will learn from it, we will benefit from it, that our lives will be enriched, and our experience and relationship with God will be moving forward. Some years ago, we surveyed our church family, and we found out something that I guess was quite shocking, but maybe shouldn't have been. Most of us realized and admitted that we didn't read the Bible. I mean, we believed the Bible, but we never really took time to read it and to study it. And so we began, as a result of that information, to do things a little differently regarding worship experiences Sunday by Sunday. We have daily Bible readings that tie into or provide the theme for the worship service the Sunday following those readings. We've been doing it now for well on probably 15 years. I think it has helped generate interest in the Bible. I hope it has. People are reading it, reading God's Word on their own, learning from it. So our daily Bible readings had just ended this past week with the celebration of Easter. It means that we're into a new series or a new set of daily Bible readings. We're going to have to do it a little bit differently this time, and maybe that's good. I hope it will be. I think it will be. We're going to be writing God's Word. The daily Bible readings that you have before you for this week, or that you read this past week, rather, that we focus on this Sunday, those readings are listed day by day. You can receive them by email. You can be reminded of them. We're not able to print them and put them out in the atrium as we normally would, but if you desire a printed copy, there will be a PDF file there that you will see in a churchwide email you should have already gotten that will allow you to print those readings out. Each of those day's readings will focus upon a particular theme. This week's theme was waiting on God. It's all about God's timing. I appreciate the blacks sharing their experience, and many of us remember the struggle that they went through and the fact that coming out on this side of things, see how blessed they are, makes me smile. Well, that theme of waiting on God is what you're going to be looking for in each one of these day's readings. But we're not asking you to read it and then read a devotional thought that someone on ministry staff perhaps penned. We've done that in the past. We could do it again. But this time around, it's just the scripture, and then we're asking you to write it out. Write it out completely. You're going to need to have a notebook, or I use a journal. I've got, you know, my life plan is in it year to year, and I've marked off, and there's the readings for this week that ended this morning with Psalm 40, 1 to 3, that we had presented to us here at the top of the hour. My penmanship, it's not the best, but it's mine, and it's going to get better. But what it's going to do for us, my friends, is realize that up until, about 1440, when the printing press was invented, the only way you communicated was in writing. Scribes spent their entire lives writing out God's Word. That's why we have Bibles that we can hold in our hands today. Remember, God didn't bring this Bible down on a silver platter. He used men and women to tell their story through Scripture. And they were preserved for centuries through manuscripts that scribes produced. Well, consider yourself to be a scribe in these days. And if you are just now hearing about it, you're fine. Pick up and start with us this week, because the readings that begin tomorrow have a very unusual theme. Two little words, but God. You're going to look at those readings and you're going to say, we're moving in this direction, but God had other ideas. We were doing this, but God stopped us and pointed us in His direction. So I just wanted to spend a few moments just giving you a brief synopsis, kind of a brief plan of where we're going in these days. How long will these readings, these weekly readings be? We've got them scheduled through the end of May. Will life be back to a new normal by then? Who knows? But we're going to be writing God's Word. So the theme of the week, waiting on God, draws me to a passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It's in this passage where I guess the question could be asked, does God really need an iWatch? Does He need a timepiece like we keep time? God's Word says this, but do not let this one fact escape you, brothers, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Folks, we need to understand that we have schedules, we have time keepers, we have watches, we've got calendars. God doesn't operate on our timetable. He never has. He never will. As a matter of fact, I think history will show that we have moved away from the basic rhythms of life that God showed us and gave to us from the very beginning of creation. But if Peter does anything here, he tells us in no uncertain words that when we come to any idea of chronology and time in God's Word, from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, that we need to understand and know that many times God's method of keeping time is going to be different from ours. So if you're impatient about what's going on in your life, think about God's timing. If you're going back in time in your life in the past and remembering things, put them in the perspective of God's timing. You know, think with me for a minute. Where were you when? Where were you when certain things happened? For many of you, you would say the most obvious question for people living around here and in our nation's history in a recent generation would be, where were you when President Kennedy was shot? Or perhaps, where were you when 9/11 happened? It was a Tuesday. I remember that. I remember driving in my truck back here from a Bible study when I first got word that the towers had been struck by airplanes. Or where were you when the coronavirus began its assault of our entire world? I know it's only been a few weeks, but you could probably think back and when it really hit you that sheltering in place was serious. I mean, my grandchildren are going to have that memory, and they're going to be telling their children and their grandchildren about it years from now. So where were you when? You see, all these things that I mentioned basically carry a negative theme, something that is not right, something that brings about heartache or tragedy. Where were you and I? Where are we now in light of God's plan for history? I picked up a book that, well, it's very interesting. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's by Pastor John Mark Comer. And interesting enough, it is a book that was published just in this past year. Copyright in it is 2019. And I would tell you that the book is worth your time, if only for one chapter. It's a chapter entitled, A Brief History of Speed. I want to just give you a brief synopsis of that chapter. I think it carries a lot of significance, and I think it bears upon the situation that we find in our world today. especially in light of what God's up to as we're waiting on Him. Because ultimately, He knows what's best. His will, His ultimate will, we know will be accomplished. It's all about time. It's all about the speed of our lives. If you go back to around 200 BC when the Roman Empire was beginning to put its grasp upon history and upon the world, even before that, the Romans had come up with a way of telling the time of day, the sundial. And there was a Roman philosopher, his name was Plautus, and he has a letter that's been preserved even to this day where he spends his whole time griping about his own people cutting his day into segments that just drive him crazy. So even way back before the time of Jesus, there was a system of trying to tell time. And it upset the Roman philosopher. Then you begin to look at things and you realize that those religious guys we call monks, who spent most of their time, what? Sequestered, apart from civilization, praying and studying God's word. What a noble calling. Well, over in Europe, the monks decided that they needed to pray 7 times per day. And so they figured out a way and came up with even a mechanical clock to separate and to announce those 7 periods of the day when they would be called to prayer. Pretty amazing. In AD 1370, I know you love this history law, this history talk from me, but just bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. In 1370, we have the first public clock on a town square in Cologne, Germany. That's 1370 AD. So think about it. Up until that time, time was the rhythm of life. You went to bed with the moon at dark. You woke up with the sun in the daytime. That's the way we told time. But now, with the invention of the clock, with the invention of the Roman sundial, or the monk's way of keeping up with the 7 times to pray each day, with Cologne, Germany deciding that they would be the first to mount a clock so that their entire community could tell the time of day, we introduce what? Artificial time. The clock that, hear me, it's not of God. It's our invention. And it has changed the way in which we live. Thomas Edison, in 1879, invented the light bulb. Now, I know you may be laughing. I said bulb. That's the best way to say it. Makes me smile. If you want to be precise, you can say bulb. He invented the light bulb, which meant what? Which meant we could stay up after dark. Back in Edison's time, the average night's sleep for an American, 11 hours. Today, just under 7 hours. You know, I used to feel real bad about reading biographies of Christians back in those early days that they would be up at 2 or 3 in the morning praying the rest of the night. And I just felt guilty because I couldn't do that. And then I realized, well, they went to bed at dark. They get up 8 or 9 hours later. What else are they going to do? Well, just simply goes to show that we've taken time. And time has done something to our culture. Now, don't get me wrong. I love technology. I love the conveniences of technology. I don't want to get up and worry about going out and foraging through the forest and killing dinner and coming back and having to chop the wood and building a fire. I appreciate the fact that I can get takeout. I can go to a restaurant. Well, I can't go to a restaurant now, but I will as time goes on, hopefully. And I'm glad that I can just come into my house and hit a button and the thermostat's going to raise it to the proper temperature so that I can have comfort. There's been nothing at all wrong with technology. It has given us more time, hasn't it? It's given us more hours in the day because we're not having to spend all that time and labor for something. Now all we have to do is push a button. But travel with me from that period of time to the year 2007. 2007, everything changed. Matter of fact, in history, I think we're going to look back and say, well, if in 1440 Gutenberg invented the printing press and that changed everything regarding communication, it's going to be in 2007 that this happened right here. Right here. The phone. The iPhone. The smartphone. The smartphone has changed everything. And I would tell you that we have put all that extra time that we have and spend it on this. Think about it. That's what we do with our time. Did you know that slot machines and casinos gross more profit than the film industry and Major League Baseball combined? You go, what do you mean, Stephen? Slot machines in casinos across the world reap more profit, make more money than the film industry and Major League Baseball combined. But it's just quarters, two or three at a time. Yes, it is. It's just quarters, two or three at a time that add up to a lot of money, which follow up with an addiction. An addiction that's just like time. You see, we sit here and go, but I only spend a few touches a day on it. I've just got to check that email. I've got to go to my Facebook post. I've got to make sure that I can get through. And the same thing that happens in every arena of life happens with our time. That we have amassed a huge amount of extra time, and we're spending that extra time on our technology. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that technology's terrible. I think in the times we're going through, technology has rescued us. I mean, the fact that we're able to have this online experience speaks to the fact that technology has a great side, has a good side. But it seems like we talk more about the advantages of technology than we ever do facing the reality of the disadvantages, of the cons, if you will. We're real big on the pros, but we spend very little time talking about the cons of what this little device and everything it represents is doing to us. You know, back in the year 2000, the average attention span of a middle-aged American was, let me make sure I got it right, 12 seconds. Today, it's 8 seconds. And get this, the span of a goldfish attention, 9 seconds. So we're losing the battle of concentration and attention to goldfish. And I think it has everything to do with our abuse of this. One more item here and then I'll move on. This is not something that works for you. You have to pay for it. You go to the store, lay down your cash, it becomes yours. But don't ever think that you're the customer. Customer is a corporation somewhere in the United States, be it California or wherever. We're not the customer, we're the product. And the product is our time. And the more this can garner our time, then the more money can be generated for those who give us this technology. Okay. I say all that to say this. The pace of life today, speed of it, it's not normal. Say what you want, but it's not. And it begs the question, what is this technology and this appetite and this addiction toward technology? What is it doing to our spirit, to the very soul that God has given to us? Well, I think it all comes back to remembering in time, in God's timing, remembering those good things. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. One of the passages, and I'll have to admit, I had a hard time writing this one out the other day because there's some pretty long words. Loving kindnesses, one word. I had to kind of stare at it a minute before I could write it out completely as it appears. But Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. Listen to this perspective of time, God's timing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. See the difference between our getting so upset over God's timing of things, impatience. Peter reminded us, day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as one day. But all the way back in Jeremiah's time, for he's the one who wrote these words called the Lament, Lamentations of Jeremiah. And he comes to the conclusion that God indeed is good. And that if we will focus upon his timing of things in our lives, and we invest our time in him, and if it involves a little bit of this, so be it. But to return back to remembering where we were when God blessed us. So I asked the question that I asked a minute ago. Where were you when? Well, say it again. Where were you when? What about this? When you think back to when you began to follow Jesus, can you remember that? Can you remember the experience of wherever it was, whoever was with you, when you said, yes, Lord, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life? Where were you when? Where were you when you got your first car? Where were you when you had your first kiss? Where were you when, just fill in the blank, where were you when a child was born? And even, where were you when a loved one died? For that moment in my own life, one of the greatest experiences, privileges that I had in my own life was to remember being with both my parents when they made their journey through eternity to heaven. Because God is good. Got some good news from Guatemala the other day. Eric Stone, for you who may not understand all this, but we as a church are mission-minded. We reach out beyond ourselves as we should do individually, but as a church, that's part of our DNA. Well, we've been dealing with a situation in Guatemala, Central American country, for many, many years now. It began with work with an orphanage in Zacapa, Guatemala, where there were a couple of hundred children who were going through the government system of either foster care or where they'd been taken out of the home and put in the orphanage there in Zacapa, and we began and did a lot of work with them. That has kind of morphed into a village called Pueblo Modelo, and we have helped over the past several years a congregation, a church, to do some building to reach their community. Some of you have been to Guatemala, have been on a trip to this place. But last week I got an email from Eric Stone, who is the missionary that we work with. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but he started out and he said, "Hello to everyone at First Baptist Louisville. We saw the hashtag Light Still Shines movement online last Sunday, and we want to share an inspiring account of how the sewing group in Pueblo Modelo has been part of his light here in Zacapa, Guatemala. And then he went on to say that they got a request from the government orphanage that they needed 200 masks for the children because the coronavirus has decimated that country. They're in a terrible ordeal there because of it. Because being a third world country, it is what it is. So he said, is there any way that the orphanage contacted him? Could you get 200 masks made for these children? Well, Jolynn Black in our church, years ago, had started a sewing circle with the ladies in this village of Pueblo Modelo with the purpose of teaching them how to make clothes, dresses, whatever, and then to use those as income for their families, to be a seamstress who would charge for her services and for her clothing. And that's ebbed and flowed and worked for a time. Sometimes it hadn't been as good in some years as others. But Jolynn, the last time we went last July, had brought so much material down there. It was almost like, overload of material that they realized that they had enough to make as many masks as needed. And so that's exactly what they did. They divided up, got a call out to these ladies who had the sewing machines and had learned how to use them. They came, brought them together. They divided up the material. They sent them to work at home, to work in place, to live in place. And they spent a couple of days, and that's exactly what they did. They made over 200 masks for those orphans in Zacapa, Guatemala. And I think you can see the work that they did that's right there on the screen. They had enough to use not only for the orphans in Zacapa, but it helped generate income for these families, for they were able to use what they made to feed their families. Now, folks, this is a culture, this is a group of people, and we know them. These are our friends. But the coronavirus epidemic has been so pronounced there, it is so devastating there, that they have locked down the country. If you work, you're on a curfew, and you have to be back at home before dark, or you're fined, you could be arrested. Well, these people walk everywhere they go. And for most of them that had jobs in the major city of Zacapa, they did not have the time to walk to work and to get back before dark. And so what happened? They lost their jobs. They reached out to us, and we've reached out to them. We wired some money this past Friday that will take care of the nutritional needs, meals for 300 families in that village for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And if that doesn't get them over the curve, if you will, if that doesn't get them to where they need to be in life, get back to whatever normal is for them, we'll help them again, I'm sure. He closed his greeting to me by saying, besides helping the orphanage, the masks also provided some much needed income for the ladies, which will definitely help their precarious situations as Guatemala has been shut down for almost 4 weeks. I think you'll agree that this group has tangibly testified that the light still shines. Folks, the light still shines. And once again, I am so grateful for the technology that allows us to stay connected during these days. But let us never forget God's timing, God's desire for our best. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your timing in all things. We're thankful that you love us. We're thankful that you are working in our midst, even in these uncertain times. And Father, as we continue being the church, right here at home and beyond even our own country, help us to look for you, to follow your lead. to do things according to your timing, for you know what's best. It's in the name of Christ we offer our prayer. Amen.